Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Buer. I'm the teaching pastor at our Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we continued on in our series we're calling Always and Everywhere. We're kind of doing a flyover of the book of Acts and looking at the growth of the early church, really in its locality, starting with Jerusalem and then into Judea, into Samaria, the regions around Jerusalem, and then into all the world. And kind of looking at Acts 1:8 as the framework for that, where Jesus told his disciples that would be the progression, that they would be his witnesses, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to go into Jerusalem and to Judea and to Samaria and into all the world. And talking about really how we as a church try to follow that same sort of framework in reaching our city, reaching our communities, reaching the regions around us, and then partnering with partners, churches in the gospel to reach all over the globe, across the world, to make disciples of all nations. Now, this Sunday we were in Acts 18, there's a number of things that happen there in Acts 18, but one of the things that happens is that Paul, the Apostle Paul, leaves Athens and goes to a city called Corinth. If you're familiar with the New Testament at all, 1st and 2nd Corinthians is letters from the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth. And Paul, when he first got to Corinth, he meets up with Priscilla and Aquila, this couple that are partners in the gospel with him, and he stays with them, and he begins to do really what he does in every city. He goes to the synagogue and he reasons with the Jews there. He's trying to present the gospel to his brothers and sisters, his Jewish brothers and sisters. He also, obviously, his main mission is to the Gentiles. But here in Corinth, it says the Jews begin to revile him, and they kind of attack him. And the Apostle Paul seems to hit kind of a boiling point where he tells them, look, I'm going to shake the dust off my feet, which basically means I'm washing my hands of this. And he says, your blood be on your own heads. From now on, I go to the Gentiles. And it's sort of it seems like this boiling point for Paul. In city after city after city, he has preached the gospel, he shared the gospel, and oftentimes it's the Jewish leaders in those cities who are most vehemently opposing Paul, because he formerly was a Pharisee and now is a believer in Christ. And so what happens is Paul kind of hits this boiling point and he says, I'm going to go to the Gentiles from now on. But a few verses later, it says the Lord comes to him in a vision and speaks to Paul directly and says, Paul, do not be afraid, but go on speaking, right? The truth, go on proclaiming the gospel, keep going, right? Don't lose heart is basically what the Lord tells him. He says, for I have many who are mine in this city. I have many in the city who are my people. So you keep on proclaiming the truth and sharing the gospel. I am with you, and I have many people in this city who are mine. And it says that the Apostle Paul stayed then in Corinth for another year and a half after that, proclaiming the gospel, making disciples. And it's an extremely fruitful time in his ministry. And I read that section and I think, you know, the scriptures don't always tell us that God comes to Paul exactly like that. I mean, there are a few moments it records where the Lord says things like that to Paul very directly. And this is one of these moments where it seems like, you know, the Apostle Paul's been through beatings, right? Shipwrecks. At one point in time, people stoned him, right? Tried to kill him. And yet he's been arrested. He's been in prison. And yet it seems like this moment is a little bit of a moment where he gets almost frustrated or I don't know if afraid, but I mean, the Lord says, don't be afraid. I'm with you, right? You just keep going. And he stays for another 18 months. And it's a reminder that, man, the Lord is a good father who knows what we need when we need it. He knows exactly what we need when we need it. At this moment, the Apostle Paul needed people around him. God provided that. He needed encouragement from the Lord, right? To say, don't be afraid. I'm with you. You keep going. I have many in this city who are my people. And the Lord gave that to Paul. And Paul stayed another 18 months. He knows what we need when we need it. And I, you know, so often we think we know what we need and that whatever it is, it's not really what we need. We need the presence of God. God knows what we need. And so often we think we know when we need it. And usually the answer to that is now, right? Whatever it is I think I need it now. And the Lord knows, the right timing in his timing when we need those things. And one of my favorite illustrations of this, Morgan and I are listening to a book called The Hiding Place. And I've listened to it before. It's a phenomenal book by a lady named Corrie Ten Boom. She was part of the Dutch resistance during World War II. She and her family were in Holland when it was overtaken by Nazi Germany. And their family stood up against the Nazis, and their home was part of the Dutch underground, the resistance. And they hid Jews in their home from the Nazis to the point where eventually they were caught. And that family, many of them did not make it, were killed. And they were put in camps. And I mean, just really, really difficult times, and yet saw God move in such powerful ways. And her father, Casper Ten Boom, I listen to this and I think, man, there is such wisdom here. She tells a story when she was a kid that she learned that people die. And she started, you know, she was at that age where she began to think about the implications of that. My boys, right, have had a couple of moments like that already where, you know, they start to think about the implications of things, and you're trying to shepherd them through that moment. And her father, when she went to her dad as a little girl and said, you know, wait a second, are you going to die? I don't want people to die. And it says that Casper Ten Boom looked at her and he said, Corey, when is it, when we go to Amsterdam on the train, when is it that I give you your ticket? And she thought about it for a moment and said, well, right before we get on the train. Right before we get on the train. And he said, exactly. And he said, it's no different with our good Heavenly Father. He knows exactly what we need, right, when we need it. He didn't say it exactly that way, but he basically said, look, when the time comes for some of us to die, you're going to look inside of your heart and you're going to find the strength that you need. Because just like the train ticket, right, our good Heavenly Father knows when we need, what we need, and He gives it to us just in the right time, in His right timing, when we need it most. God knows what we need. He knows when we need it. He's a good Heavenly Father, and we can trust Him. Let me pray for you, and then I want to encourage you to take a moment and pray for yourself today. Heavenly Father, thank You that You are such a good Father. And Lord, we don't always know what we need. We think we know what we need, but You know what is best. Father, we often want things now, and sometimes You say to wait. But Father, You do know what we need, and You know when we need it. And You are the giver of all good things. And Father, You tell us to seek first the kingdom, and You'll provide everything that we need from a physical or material standpoint. And God, You give us all things richly to enjoy. You're a good Father, and we can trust You. And so, Father, whether it's physical needs or encouragement, God, Your presence, friends in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, God, again, You know what we need, and You know when we need it. So help us to trust You and to trust You more. And I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Take some time now to pray for yourself.